Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can listen to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies.
By the way,
you want to join their team, be a five-star HVAC technician, you can go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team.
I know Mike is on hold. You know that when he had the guy that said he saw three or four Red Wolves at the Sligo Creek?
Yeah.
Apparently there are 17 that are known to be alive in the wild today.
In the world.
17!
And three of them. So like
three of them are here.
16 or 17% of their population is there.
Yeah.
That's
some
quick radio math by me.
Somehow he saw three of the 17 in the wild.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Mike Rizzo. He, of course, president and general manager of the Washington Nationals, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
Mikey.
How are you doing?
We're doing okay. I guess we should ask for your response on this Ken Rosenthal article. Said that you didn't want to comment, or maybe asked you for comment, whatever. But we had to talk about it earlier in the show. What's kind of your thought process in it?
Yeah, I think I got a summary of it from our PR people. Yeah, I mean, people, Ken and a lot of other journalists, and they ask for comments all the time about a bunch of stuff. I rarely make comments to the journalists, on a daily basis during the season. I've kind of told people I'm done talking about the Soto trade that was years ago, and you know, we've all moved on.
But you did great, by the way. You did great.
We did great, and you had to do great because you were dealing a great player that you drafted and signed and developed and that type of thing. So yeah. So that was the reason of that. I mean, that wasn't the first time I didn't respond back to Ken. It won't be the last because I rarely respond back to the journalist asking for those type of comments. You know, today I'm immersed into today's game and how we beat the Mariners and that type of thing. I don't need to be discussing a trade that we made, you know, 3-4 years ago. So that's what that was about. And to comment on the article, like I said, I got a summation from our PR people. I didn't read the whole thing. But, yeah, there's some validity to some things that he said there. I think that it was odd timing because we've won 7 out of our last 11. I think we played pretty well. We swept, the Orioles, and we took a 2-game series against the Braves. And now we got this tough West Coast trip, which going out to Seattle and the West Coast is never easy. So, we'll be grinding away. We've been grinding all year. I'm proud of the way the effort that they put in from the players and the coaching staff and that type of thing. You see some young players, baptism by fire when you're throwing Hassel and Dalen Lyle against Robbie Ray,
right.
Cy Young contender. That's no picnic. But I think that you're going to see the development of these guys come and that type of thing. These guys are developing at the big league level. We've been doing it for the last 3 or 4 years. We've developed players that have won division titles and world championships and that type of thing. So I think that some of those comments were, some of those statistics were kind of cherry picked and that type of thing. But we're proud of our scouting and our player development guys. We draft guys that we think are going to help us in the big leagues, and help us in the big leagues means play for us or trade away to get other players that'll help us win. And when you look back at our really good teams, the 2019 team, for example, Adam Eaton was a big part of us of winning that World Series. It took three good drafted and developed players from us to acquire an Adam Eaton to help us win the World Series. And Gomes and Doolittle and Hudson and Gio Gonzalez and all these guys came from players that were drafted and developed by the Nationals. They didn't play for the Nationals in the big leagues and didn't help us at the big league level, but the players we acquired for them did. And I think that that is a terrific way to show value in the draft, and we've been doing that for years. And either the players that we draft to play for us, or we trade them away and package them up and get a player that's going to play for us. So I guess you could pick certain draft choices and picks and that type of thing over the last years, and you could find some faults there. But when I look at we've run some of the great players in the game through our system. We've drafted some of the great players ever. We've drafted guys low in the draft that have won Cy Youngs and that type of thing. So I just thought the timing of the article was odd, because we were playing good, and we really are seeing the fruits of this frustrating rebuild coming to fruition. But I'm still optimistic. The needle of this team and this organization is pointed north, and it's going to continue to do so until we start winning championships, which I think is in the very near future.
How much has the injuries like to Cavalli and JoJo Gray, how much has that set us back a little bit on the timeline? And then they seem to be close, right? We're getting closer to those guys coming back.
Cavalli's close. JoJo is going to be towards the end of this season. You know, it's a 12 to 14 month process. But Cavalli's healthy, and when he figures it out, he's kind of going through a spring training phase here with touch and feel and command and that type of stuff. But his health is good. You know, he's going to be ready for us. JoJo's going to be at the end of the season, so 12 to 14 months after he got surgery last year. So yeah, this it sets you back. But that's not unique to the Washington Nationals. Everyone's got injuries. Got to play through it. It's not an excuse. You have to have depth.
Right.
I think you see the depth. We've developed Gore at the big league level, Irvin, Parker, two of our homegrown draft choice guys. Cavalli is soon to be here, and then you got some of the beasts in the minor leagues, Socorro and Susanna and Clemmy and Bennett and Kent and Feliz, all the way from AAA down to low A. Those guys are the next pitchers in the pipeline that's going to positively affect us in the future.
Mike, when we talked about this at the top of the show, I defended you more than Ken Rosenthal did, certainly, but and he did, and you pointed out that some of this is valid, but you did make some like an overall change to your scouting department. So you obviously saw something or the lack of in the scouting department. So you made changes a couple of years ago, but also the problem I had with Rosenthal was I don't think he spent enough time blaming ownership for not spending the money. Because when you look at the bottom, let's say six or seven payrolls in Major League Baseball, most of those teams besides your Clevelands, and they've always been very good at kind of outplaying their payroll, Cleveland and Tampa, most of those teams are at the bottom of their divisions. The teams that spend money are at the top of their divisions, and that's a no-brainer. So I just think I had a problem with Rosenthal not spending more time blaming ownership, and I'm not sure where you can go on that.
I mean, ownership is shown that when they feel that we're ready to win, they spend, and I've never had a problem with that. Hopefully that continues, and I think that the day's coming that we're going to be in a position to win, and to show support. That means buying some free agents and that type of thing. But it's also we went for it in a different way back in the first rebuild, and let us not forget we've done this before. Ken and the other journalists can point out the flaws of how we're doing this rebuild. It's taking too long and that type of thing. But the one thing they can point to us and not point to hardly any other teams around is we've rebuilt from the bottom up when MLB owned this thing to winning a championship, and we did it in 13 years from start to a championship. And we're, unfortunately had to rebuild again, and we're rebuilding now. It's taken, it's since the Soto trade, it's been 2-3 years of a rebuild, which is painful, and we all know that. But if Ken or anybody else can't see where this organization is as far as talent base and that type of thing, then I don't know what to tell anybody. The fans see it, the players see it, the opposing team, the opposition team sees it, and they see the talent and that type of thing. And you know, I've been in this game long enough. I've got friends all over the league. And you know, when we come out of Atlanta, and Atlanta comes from here, I'm talking to Walt Weiss and Snit and those guys, and saying, and they're telling us, how tough we are to play, and the level of talent that we have. So they see it. So we can't get too concerned about what people write about you and that type of thing. I rarely read it when we're winning championships. I rarely read it when we're not. And I think you have to have the spirit and the toughness to figure out the blueprint, abide by the blueprint, don't vary from the blueprint. And at the end of the day, you see where that blueprint takes you. And hopefully it'll take us to another cycle of championship caliber teams that DC can be proud of.
Mike, he quoted some.
I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them. I know that.
Mike,
I'm proud of the team, the way they play.
Mike, he quoted you from an interview you did on our show a few years ago where you didn't want to use the word rebuild. You called it a reboot. Today, you've been using the word rebuild. It's fine. I want to move on. Let's get into a specific prospect that I know a lot of people are intrigued by, Elijah Green, who you drafted fifth overall a couple of years ago. What's his progress look like?
Elijah is one of the most tooled up, skillful players that we have in the organization. Struggled woefully with contact from the time we drafted him till today. And what we've done with him is because he is such a great skill set, is, you know, he's one of the best defenders we have in the whole system, one of the fastest players that we have in the whole system, one of the best throwing arms we have in this system, and he's got some of the most prodigious power that we have in the system. We need to get the hit through under wraps, and we need more contact. So what we did was took him out of Wilmington and brought him down to Florida, and we're breaking down his swing and his approach, and we're going to do some swing changes and approach changes. We've got our best baseball people down there, our best hitting guys down there, hitting coordinator, and some other guys that are really affluent on teaching hitting and knowing hitting and knowing the kind of situation that Elijah's in. Because when this light bulb goes on, again, he's 21 years old. He'd be coming out of, you know, he'd be a draft eligible junior right now if we didn't take him out of high school. So there's time with this guy, and with his skill set, you've got to give this guy as much time as possible for him to figure it out. So down there, we're doing some swing changes and get him back into competition when, you know, the swing changes take hold, which is an arduous process. That's muscle memory. You guys have all hit balls off on the practice range and hit them well, and then you go into competition and things speed up, and you resort back to your old bad habits. So that's what we're trying to get out of Greeny. He came down with a wonderful attitude with the coaches down there really are doing a great job with getting a new approach and a new hitting format and swing changes, and we're going to do everything we can to get this guy right, because when the light bulb goes off, he could be special. So that's what we're doing with him.
Mike, I just saw a highlight of him where he hits the ball to the shortstop what looked like a routine out. And he beat it out by about three steps. He's lightning fast, isn't he?
He's probably as fast or the fastest guy we've got in the system. And like I said before, he throws the best. He's got the best throwing arm. And when it comes to power, he can hit it as far as anybody. But you can't live with 48% strikeout rates in A-ball, and we know that. We addressed it. We allowed him to do it his way with some tweaks for a period of time. But desperate times lead to desperate measures, and we got our heads together, and we put all of our best hitting guys down there, and guys that have been in his situation. You know, a first round high school draft draft that has high expectations and really struggled his first couple years in the minor leagues, and then ended up being a really good major league player playing 15 years in the big leagues. He's down there helping him figure out the, you know, the mental, physical, mechanical aspects of the swing, and we've got our hitting coordinators down there, and just the kid's putting in a lot of time and effort into his game, and he's he's a terrific kid, and we're certainly I'm very bullish on him, because like I said, I've seen light bulbs go off later in players' development, and this kid's just scratching the surface at 21 years old with his skill set. If he was coming out of the draft right now, he'd be a pretty high draft, I would think.
Can you just give one example of a guy that like kind of took a year or two and then the light bulb went on and he took off? Doesn't have to be a superstar, but he just really figured it out.
How about Jason Wirth? A catcher out of Springfield High School in Illinois.
Yeah.
High expectations, came out, struggled his butt off mightily, and went through the highs and lows, and ended up playing 15 years in the big leagues. He understands the mechanical, the mental, the physical, the swing part of hitting, and can relate to a player of this guy's ilk. Also, Jason knew Elijah Green very, very well from Elijah's high school days, because Jason's son was on the same team, and Jason lives down there, and so we thought he was the perfect guy to go down and help put this guy in. Put this guy in a good position to get back on track.
All right, Mike, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week. That's Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, president of baseball ops.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Of course, Mike, brought to you by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Coming up next, we'll switch gears, talk some NBA playoffs. Our pal Antonio Daniels, former Wizard, longtime NBA vet, now an analyst who covers hoops for the Pelicans and SiriusXM NBA host. That's next here on The Junk.